Welcome to another episode of Muskie Talk Monday on the Team Rhino Outdoors Muskie Fishing Podcast. This week I'm going to talk to Jeff Hansen, Madison Muskie Guide Service, and we're going to give a little bit of update on what to expect for Southern Wisconsin opener. We're just 2 weeks away, I believe, by the time you hear this podcast, from when that's going to be rolling in Southern Wisconsin. So we'll go over a little update on that, kind of water temperature thing, and maybe what to expect on that. And then we're going to talk wood versus plastic, whether it be crankbaits, jerkbaits, or topwater baits, kind of the, you know, the differences between both, when you use one versus the other, what some have to offer versus what others don't have to offer. So we kind of go down that road a little bit too, we're just talking gear. And so that's part of the gear. Nothing, you know, super groundbreaking. We're not talking about the newest and latest baits, but definitely, you know, stuff to help you potentially put another fish in the net this year. And if you're, you know, speaking of the latest and greatest in gear, if you're looking for gear for your next musky fishing adventures, make sure you check out TeamRhinoOutdoors.com. This week we've seen Livingston Krakens, Custom Quad Dogs, H2O Tackle. Those are things just to name a few. The Krakens have been selling well, and from what I understand, if you don't get one sooner than later, you probably have to wait till July to get them. Custom Quad Dogs, I believe we had 10 new colors show up. Pretty good numbers of all of them. So by the time you hear this podcast, there should be some. But if you're looking to get the quad dog from Muskie Innovations, definitely check that out. And like I said, Roger from H2O Tackle, good friend of me. We've been known each other for well before Team Rhino Outdoors even existed. And so he's got me reloaded on shallow baits. Perfect. I mean, his stuff is shallow cranky nitros. If you're looking for shallow water application stuff, I mean, it's not going to go much more than a foot down, 2 feet down at the very, very most. You know, perfect for early season, especially like if you get the cranky nitro half tail shallow. You know, it's a bigger profile, but if you're looking to stay shallow, the perfect opportunity for perfect bait for that opportunity. So go check those out on our website, TeamRhinoOutdoors.com. In the coming weeks, we're going to talk a little bit about a new bait that we have coming out. It'll be exclusive to us and the manufacturer. So stay tuned. That's coming soon. And there might be a few listeners, if you're in the Muskie Academy, that's a online group with Jeff Vandermortel from WDH Guide Service. Yeah, he's up there in northern Wisconsin. He's got his Muskie Academy group. He's kind of spread the word a little bit in that group. But outside of that, it's still a little bit hush-hush. We're still working out a few things on it. But coming very soon, or at least the details are coming soon, hopefully about the time that everybody's looking for this type of bait, they should have it in their or be able to get it here at TeamRhinoOutdoors.com. But I've rambled for 3 minutes. Time to go dial up my conversation I had with Jeff Hansen. My guest this week on the podcast is going to be Jeff Hansen, and we're going to talk a little bit about kind of what we'd expect for spring opener in the southern Wisconsin zone. But we want to talk wood versus plastic, particularly when it comes to crankbaits and jerkbaits. Jeff, how are things going today? Thank you for your time.
Oh, good, good. Just a little windy today, but yeah, nice day today.
Absolutely. And so let's talk about this season a little bit. You're going to be running around in a new boat, huh? You're going to have new recon, is that right?
Yeah, I got a 2085, a 20-foot six-tiller that's 97 inches wide. It's a hell of a tiller, in my opinion, about the best musky tiller that's out right now, for sure. Pretty excited to get that. Supposed to get that on Monday, so can't wait to put some on.
Yeah, fingers crossed that works out. I mean, I know with all the craziness since, you know, COVID started, it seems like nobody's delivering boats on time these days, but I hope that everything works out for you. But you know, I'm also hoping that I get a chance to come down. And I know that my buddy Steve Jensen, he's up there fishing a recon, and I mean, they're great boats from everything I can tell. They're, you know, they're made here in Wisconsin, and they're pretty sweet rides.
Yeah. Very, very super nice people, and been great to work with.
Are you actually going to put locators on this boat? Because it seems like you're one of those guys that's still, you're not worried about the latest and greatest forward-facing sonar type stuff. You're pretty much just maybe halfway using side imaging, but for the most part, you just do it by feel, it seems like.
Yeah, I got one Helix 12 in the back of the boat, and that's all I need. I don't have any of the side scan or any of that stuff. I mean, I got side imaging, but the only time I really use it is if I'm open water trolling or or casting, because otherwise, there's so many weeds here in Madison, that's all you can see. So there's not much use for me using a casting, except for if I'm fishing way open water.
So you mean to tell me you can catch muskies without $40,000 in electronics in your boat?
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I've been fishing these lakes since I was a kid. I mean, if I was going to be fishing new waters, I would maybe think about investing it. But, I mean, I know these lakes like the back of my hand, so there's no sense in me dropping the money and stuff like that for me.
Let's talk a little bit about what we think is going to go on for opener. Well, since we're talking lakes and fishing, let's talk about that.
Yeah, the season, we had such a warm winter, which I hate. We had such bad weeds last year and such shallow water. When we don't have thick ice, and especially with thick ice with lots of snow on it that totally blocks off any sunlight, and when we have years with the heavy ice and a lot of snow, it kills off all the weeds. They don't get any sunlight during the wintertime, and they're gone. And we start with a clean bottom in the end of the year, but that didn't happen this year. There's still weeds from last year, and I talked to a couple guys today that had been out and said that there's good weeds already, which is way too early for that. So there's going to be good weeds for opener, which normally there's not here. We've had way above normal temps, so the fish have been a little bit further along in the spawn than what they did, so should be a lot more post-spawn muskies than there have been the last couple of years. The last couple of years, fish were still spawning here in opener here, and that should not be the case this year with how warm the water's been. But we had a lot of low water, too. We had a couple inches of rain the last few days, so that should help. But the Madison lakes are still really, really low.
And, you know, so you said you've been fishing these since you were a kid. Have you seen anything like this before? And if you have, how do you think it's going to play out?
Yeah, I've seen years like this in the past. Typically, there's good fishing right off the bat, especially started getting some bigger females earlier last year. They didn't start going good until like the third, fourth week of May, because they hadn't recouped from the spawn yet. This year they should, so should be getting some bigger fish earlier than in May than what we normally do. But hopefully we just don't get a lot of weather in May and early in June, because that would suck if we end up with 80-degree water temps in June. So hopefully we get some cool weather ahead and they're at least.
Yeah. All right, so kind of gives you a preview. Expect, you know, lots of weed growth and things to be fairly ahead for the Southern opener here in Madison. But, Jeff, the reason we wanted to talk was, you know, you've wanted to talk about it for a while, is wood baits versus plastic baits. You know, let's start off with Suix, because that's one we can compare the two baits right there, wood versus plastic. What do you, I know you like both. I particularly prefer the weighted wood ones, 10 inch in particular. You know, if you could only pick one, which one are you going to pick? And, you know, let's maybe talk about why.
It depends on the time of year too. You know, early in the spring, I really like the weighted sevens. Those put a lot of fish in the boat for me. But then pretty much after May, I hang those up in the garage and I don't use them the rest of the year. June, I'm throwing weighted nines and then a lot of the 9-inch plastic high impact. Years ago, when Steve Suick first told me, he's like, yeah, we're going to start making plastic Suick. I'm like, oh no, why would you do that? But one thing with the high impacts is they are consistent. I mean, you buy one, and then you get another one later on, it's going to work the same way. Versus wood, you're never going to have that because of the grain in the wood. The weight of the wood is all different. Just more inconsistencies with the plastic. So you get baits that do the same thing when you're buying plastic ones, wood ones. Each one does something different. All in all, I probably caught more on wood, and some of my biggest fish have been on wood, particularly 10-inch weighted wood suics. I mean, I just... That's a standby for me. I mean, I've caught so many big fish on 10-inch weighted Suix wood ones since I was a kid. But the plastic ones are good, too. And if you can actually tune some of the plastic ones to do some more erratic stuff than you can the wood ones. But I like both. Time and place for both of them.
Well, you talked about the inconsistencies of wood. That can also be that's a negative and a positive, in my opinion. The inconsistency sometimes is like, you get that wood bait, and this is not only with, you know, jerk baits, but crank baits as well. Sometimes that wood bait literally just has like what we'll call it, right? I mean, it wobbles different, it hangs different, potentially depending upon, you know, how often you've used it. Sometimes they suck up some water and, you know, add some extra weight to it. Like, those are all things that can definitely be a positive to wood baits as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got some 10-inch wood Suiks that have the magic. I mean, they're just erratic as hell. I mean, I like my Suiks not only to have a nice hop to them, but be able to kick out side to side. And those are the ones that seem to get the most hits. I know you and I have done a couple Suik videos. You can see how I tune my Suik in some of those YouTubes and how I bend them. But if I can get them kicking out side to side, they definitely outperform the ones that are just doing a straight hop. And some of the wood ones, you can just get a hop on them. They don't want to kick out to the side. Just depends on the graining of the wood, the weight of the wood. They're just all different. I mean, they're all good, but some of them, like you said, are it. They have the magic.
Then on the converse side, sometimes with the wood, though, you also have the one that is not it, that is very difficult to tune. Usually, I'm pretty good at Suiks, right? I can get them to tune in, but there are sometimes, occasionally, with those wood ones where it you can't quite get it to do exactly what you want it to do. That would be the only downside, I would say, to a wood Suik.
Yeah, and that's actually, customers always ask me if they could bring baits for me to tune, both crankbaits and Suiks, and I probably have more people bring Suiks than any other bait combined, just because people try and over-tune them. Some of the bends on some of the tail, some people do it with pliers. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy, some of the Suiks that I've had people bring. I had a guy last year bring 10 of them for me. I just laughed when he opened the box and how he had them bent. People just overthink it and just bend them way too much. You don't need to do that. Slight modifications on those Suiks, get them doing.
Yeah, for me, I just make a really slight bend down on the back of the tail, and I don't bend like side to side at all on the tail. You don't do any side to side bending, do you? Like, as far as like the little bits on the fins?
Yeah, I mean, I put my thumb in the center of it and cup it around my thumb, and then just a slight bend down, and you can see that video that we did.
Yep.
I guess the best way to explain it if people want to see it.
Yeah, you might have to go back a little ways on, I think I have it on the page on, you know, I think it's, you know, saved onto the Suik page, but otherwise, if you go to our YouTube channel, you can find it there. And the thing about it, though, is you might have to go find it a little ways, because Jeff, it's been quite a while since we've done any filming together. Hopefully that changes this year.
Yeah, the Suik one, believe it or not, that was in 2018.
Wow, I can't believe it's been that long. Holy cow. Well, then, so how long has it been since we had, what was it, 10 fish that we had that day?
Yeah, that was 2018 or 2019.
Okay. Man, we're getting old fast.
Yeah, you and I never fished last year.
Well, I don't think we've ever fished in the last couple of years.
Yeah, the year before you came down in October, you got 4 trolling with me that day, but they were small ones in the fall.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. I do remember that. Yep. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about crankbaits, because, you know, there's obviously differences there, too. You know, first off, wood crankbaits are getting harder and harder to find. You're talking like Lokes and Musky Trains and Boss Sheds and Supernaturals, BN Customs. I'm sure I'm missing somebody and they're going to yell at me, but those are the ones I can think of, you know. Oh, yeah. Yep. The Leo Lures, too. Yep. See, I knew there was going to be somebody that was going to yell at me for leaving them out. It wasn't by design. But, you know, what is it that you like about, you know, wood versus crank or wood versus plastic when it comes to cranks?
The wood, to me, you can tune them easier. You can get them to do more crazy stuff. A lot of the plastic stuff, especially if the screw eye is molded into the bait, if you tweak on it too much, you'll actually crack the plastic. Like Jake's and Grandma's and some of that, if you really tweak on that screw eye, you'll crack them and then they leak and sink. Versus the wood baits, you can really tweak them and get them to do a lot of different things. I mean, everybody that knows me know I run a ton of musky trains that are made from cedar. And I've got a lot of really big fish on them, and I can get them to do a lot of crazy things trolling. I mean, some of them I'll tweak so that even on turn, sometimes they'll blow out of the water. If I'm turning, sure, if they get going fast because they're so erratic, but that's what I want. If they're doing crazy stuff, then the fish are more likely to hit them. But I can definitely seem to get more big fish wood crankbaits than I do on plastic for me. You know, I've trolled depth readers in my life probably more than everything else combined. And I've only ever got 150 on a depth reader in my life. Some people will probably disagree with that. They've got a lot of 50s on them, but I just haven't. And I haven't been running musky trains as long as I've been running depth readers, and I got way, way more 50s on those. And it's just, I don't know, they're more natural too. The wood baits don't really have rattles in them, so it might be more natural to the fish too, to me. But I've definitely outproduced plastic crankbaits trolling with wood by far. I mean, like most of the charter captains on Lake St. Clair, they're all running wood baits. You know, they're running Ziggies, Musky Trains, Lokis, Leos, stuff like that. But not running a lot of plastic baits. And I spent a lot of time trolling there. But to me, the biggest thing is just being able to tune them, getting them to walk erratically, and do what you want. I guess that's the biggest thing for me.
I was going to ask you, you know, about the rattles. You said they had, you know, that the plastic, obviously many of them are offered rattles and how wood isn't. I was going to ask you, you know, if you thought that had a potential impact on the abilities to catch large fish, you know, if you're seeing more fish catching, you know, big fish on wood, if it was the rattles that would do it.
Yeah, to me, stuff with rattles in it, I seem to catch smaller fish on it than really, really big fish. And again, I've caught way more fish in the 52 to 54 inch range on wood cranks by far than anything with plastic. And I don't know why. I know a lot of guys have caught big fish on plastics too, but just not in my experience. And rattles seem to be smaller fish for me, definitely. I mean, plastics that I troll that they have rattles in them, you know, depth raters, tough shads. We have caught fish up to 48 on tough shads, but they catch bigger fish on the wood cranks, you know, like diesels and MX6s, 7s, 9s, particularly in the 9s, got 51, 52 inch fish on them. I don't know. I'm a huge fan of the wood crank.
Would you say that to your average angler, they would have to tune a wood bait more than they would a plastic one? Do you think one runs more true than the other one, or not necessarily?
No, not necessarily. I mean, you run into the plastic crankbaits that need tuning also. I mean, the last couple of depth readers I got from you, I really had to tune those. And same with the Musky Train stuff. Some of them run great right out of the package. Some of them, a few of them a year off of tune, but that's fine with me. I mean, a lot of them, I actually, like I was saying, I like almost knocking a hair out of tune. So they're running good at 4 miles an hour. And you want to, every single bait you stick in the water when you're trolling, you set it next to the boat and make sure it's running true before you ever stick it out. So that way that eliminates line tangles. That's a really, really important thing. Every time that I set one out, I check it. I mean, especially after you caught a fish on one, it could have got banged against the side of the boat, but always be checking them. But I like the wood ones because, like I said, I knock them out of tune a little bit and they'll run perfectly straight at 4 miles an hour. But once you kick it up to 4.2, 4.4, or when you're on a turn, your outside planer board or your outside rods are going to be going a lot faster. And sometimes they'll even have the crankbaits out of tune, so they're blowing out of the water. But when you straighten back out, they straighten again. So if there's fish behind them when they do that crazy stuff, a lot of times they get smoked. I really found that out on Lake St. Clair. My buddy that I was working with was like, hey, your baits are blown out of the water. I'm like, no, nope, they're fine. As soon as you get back again and been lying again, the fish smokes them. So I don't mind if some of them are blown out of the water when they're going faster on turns. That just means that they're doing more erratic stuff.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, Jeff, I don't know if you can explain this over a podcast, but can you kind of talk about how you tune baits? Because I will say, I think in my lifetime, I had like maybe one bait that I couldn't get to tune in. And maybe it's a couple more than that. But I can think of one that I couldn't get to tune. And we played with it and played with it. And even Tony Spicker, I had him in the boat from, used to be the owner of Big Game Tackle. And I had him in the boat and he played with it. And we still couldn't get it dialed in exactly perfectly. You know, and I think a lot of anglers just, they put their crankbait out there and they set it and they expect it to run perfectly every time. Are you able to kind of talk a little bit about tuning a crankbait?
Yeah, the easiest tool to tune with by far is definitely a lineman's pliers. You can really get a hold of the screw eye in the front or the wire that's coming out. And just the first thing to do is either, if it's going to the right, bend it to the left. If it's going to the left, bend it to the right. And sometimes if that doesn't work, you can take the lines and pliers and just twist it either clockwise or counterclockwise, depending what the bait's doing. But that's how you get them tuned. If it's going one way, then twist it back the other way. But I guess, yeah, kind of hard to explain over a podcast, like when I'm guiding people, I'm able to explain to them visually a lot easier how to do it. But yeah, a lines and flyers is definitely the easiest way to, because it gets a hold of the whole eye and really gets it to rest versus trying to use like a needle nose or splitting pliers or anything like that. You can just get a hold of them a lot better with the length and pliers.
And one thing I'll add to that, Jeff, is much like you were talking about when you tune this Suic tail, there's definitely a little can go a long ways, right? So don't overcrank these things.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. The Suic tail, same with the crankbait things. People show up for trolling guide trips. They're like, oh, I can't get this to work. And they got the screw rack completely bent over. That's way, way too much. Just a slight little bend does a lot, especially in a crankbait that you're trolling at 4 or 4.5 miles an hour. Just a little twist or tweak does a lot on it.
So, Jeff, you talked about having, you know, people in your boat. If people are looking to get in touch with you this year to get out and fish with you, or is that something that you have availability?
Yeah, I got 1 day left in May, 2 or 3 left in June, a couple in July. My fall is pretty wide open yet. I'm usually booked about 2 months in advance. I'm booked solid, so I got some stuff left for this year yet.
Excellent. And what's the phone number? Do they got a website? How do you want to go about that?
It is MadisonMuskieGuide.com. That has my email and my phone number on there. And then it has any question you could possibly ask is on there. And then you can go on there and see a lot of the big fish that my customers have caught too. I got quite a few fish pictures on there.
What I really want to know is, do you have availability for next Tuesday to panfish?
Nope, I don't do any of that.
All right, Jeff, so before we get you out of here, we kind of talked about, you know, crankbaits, we talked about jerkbaits, but one thing people don't always think about would be topwater baits, and I'm talking, I mean, there's a few maybe tail-rotating topwaters out there these days, but less and less. I would say it's more in that creeper range. You know, do you find much of a difference between, you know, wood versus plastic when it comes to topwater baits?
Yeah, definitely. One of my favorites from years ago was always the High Fin Hogbuster. And those were always made from wood for a lot of years. And all of a sudden, High Fin switched them over to plastic. And I noticed that they didn't have a similar sound. And the big fish I was catching on them definitely went down. And then since Chuck took over or got the High Fin creepers from High Fin, he changed it back to wood. And they are back to the way they used to be. My daughter caught her biggest muskie of her life this year on one. The Hogbusters are on like they used to years ago. The sound is just totally different with them, and just seem to get more hits. Same with the like walk the dog style topwaters, like the One-Eyed Willie that's made from maple is a really, really good one. Like versus like a dock that's made out of plastic. I've got way, way more big fish on One-Eyed Willies, and they just seem to make a different noise in the water. I don't know if it's more natural to the fish, but definitely make a lot better noise. So if I can get a wood topwater, I would prefer it. I mean, nowadays, prop style ones, I don't even really know of any wood ones of prop style that are even made anymore. Do you?
Not that I can think of. I mean, you know, the more popular ones are, you know, like a Lake X Fat Bastard. That's definitely plastic. Even like Senate Tackle, Pacemakers, those are all plastic. You can, I think, maybe get a couple in wood yet, but I'm not positive. So I don't know many of them. And it's funny you bring up the, you know, like the walk the dog style, because like back when I first started musky fishing, like the Weagle was all the rage. And now it's, you don't even hardly hear about walk the dog topwater baits anymore. I'm assuming you must do really well with them every year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The One-Eyed Willie Juniors, I throw a lot of. That's been a top producer for me. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I very rarely see guys in the water using them anymore, which I don't understand why. But yeah, same thing with the Weagle. I mean, that's a good bait too, but I very rarely see guys throwing them. The big thing nowadays is top styles and then flap tails. I mean, I see a million guys throwing flap tails now, whereas you never used to see that here.
No, definitely. I would say, like you said, the flap tails exploded, I'd say, especially, I mean, it's got a lot of big fish notoriety. It's that MK65 and the C4 from Bomb Squad. Those are probably two of the most popular ones out there. So definitely exploding. But like I said, I mean, I remember like just the Weagle hysteria. and how guys were just like almost like fighting over to try to get a weagle, and now you barely even hear about them, and it's crazy. And I always think sometimes it's like what's old is new, so I feel like the, you know, those muskies are still going to bite that bait, and it's just underutilized tool.
Right. Yeah, I know. I talked to Jeff that makes the bomb squad stuff. He was going to be making a smaller tomahawk prop, which the big one, that's just, I mean, I don't use a lot of those giant topwaters here. I haven't dug well on them. And he had told me this winter that he's going to be making a smaller one, and that'll be wood. So I'm pretty excited for that bait. So hopefully that comes out sometime soon.
Yeah, hopefully. I know he's a busy guy too. He just bought musky bumpers, so he's still working his way through that too. But yeah, I agree. You know, Jeff, I just want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule. I hope that, you know, people listen and they like the information they got today. I also hope they, again, if they're in a market to come down to the Madison area, they give you a call, because, you know, I mean, I can't vouch for you enough. We've had some, you know, we've had some tough days because it is musky fishing, but I don't know that we've ever had a day where we haven't at least had an opportunity to put a fish in the net. But we've also had some opportunities to put many, many fish in the net. And I would say more often than not, we're putting multiples versus just, you know, just having a little bit of action. So it's been, I can't vouch for you enough, Jeff. I thank you for your time.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Want to thank all of our listeners again for tuning in for another episode. And I will have another episode of the Team Rhino Outdoors Musky Fishing Podcast out again next week, Monday. So thanks again, and good luck fishing.